Staying in Texas, a second health worker at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas has tested positive for Ebola virus. This comes days after we learned a nurse who treated now-deceased Ebola patient Thomas Duncan also contracted the virus and is being treated. Here's Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings speaking earlier today.
The only way that we are going to beat this is person by person, moment by moment, detail by detail.
But hopefully the prognosis of this new infected patient is better than what the World Health Organization is saying about West Africa, where an estimated 70% of those infected are now dying of Ebola. We could be seeing 10,000 new cases, according to the World Health Organization, per week by December. Alarm is understandable now, but Dr. Kent Sepkowitz, infectious disease expert at Memorial Sloan Kettering, says the system should hold. Dr. Sepkowitz, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, but I'm a little bit worried. I'm doing the math here. If one infected worker in Dallas produces two infected workers, then we're on a mathematical track that's not necessarily good. How do you reassure me here?
The tricky part is that most people who show up in emergency rooms with compatible symptoms in the U.S. at least do not have Ebola. So the two things that have to happen, one is we have to be able to turn around the diagnostic test quickly, and then the tiny subset of people who turn out to have it. And again, we've had one case. So I think that the front end of it, which is to test every suspicious person and get a result really, really fast, is challenging but very doable. We do it with influenza, we do it with other diseases now. So it's a technology that exists.
But given the fear of Ebola, and my 13-year-old asks me to, you know, check her forehead every day, and I have to every day tell her, no, this is not something you need to worry about. But nevertheless, we're going to see a huge spike in false positive contenders coming into emergency rooms around the country, and they're going to need some, I don't know, what would it call, housing area, waiting room area to wait for test results to come back or something like that? I mean, couldn't that overwhelm the system all by itself?
I think we saw an overwhelmed system with anthrax, for sure. Those listeners who recall that from 2001,
sure.
The healthcare system totally creaked and bent and almost broke. There's going to be a real challenge to the healthcare system. I think that the contagiousness of someone who is just got fever and headache, as, again, we've learned a lot from poor Mr. Duncan, but the people who he transmitted this to or the people who caught this from him were not the emergency room people. They were not the family he was living with. They were the team that was deeply involved with caring for him when he was dying. And the reason that's biologically plausible and quite relevant from a public health perspective is that the amount of virus in him and the amount of bleeding from him in the last few days of his life was considerably higher than it was when he walked in. So he was much more contagious as he got sicker.
Dr. Sepkowitz, you're at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and that's a unique facility. Are you confident that the CDC can handle this on a nationwide basis as you look forward?
I'm a big fan of the CDC. I've worked with them through many, many crises. This one is tough. I think that they're being very honest and they're being flexible. They're using today's information to inform tomorrow's decisions. It means that they are shifting strategies right in front of us, and that obviously makes people nervous. But I would be more nervous if they were not being flexible and not listening to the data that's coming out. I'm a fan of theirs. I trust that they can get us through this. But it's not going to be pretty, and it's not going to be smooth, you know. And again, this was true in anthrax. This was true with the epidemic flu that we had, the pandemic in 2009, 2010. You know, these things are messy. They're intense. Life at 3,000 frames a second or whatever. But it's I certainly think that they are the best at what they do in the world by a long shot.
He's a contributor to The Daily Beast. Dr. Ken Sepkowitz is also an infectious disease expert at Memorial Sloan Kettering. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.